when I looked up, I did not look up Trust and Faith. I created folders and files called Trust and Faith. And the next time I opened my browser, there was a suggested article about trust from Harvard Business Review, which makes me lose a certain amount of trust in the internet.
But you have a certain amount of faith.
No, there's faith there. I know they could tell you what size dress I wear. Mm-hmm. Or shoes. They could certainly tell you what size shoes I wear. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 14, and we are going to be talking about trust and faith.
Like the George Michael kind.
I wish I could play that song, but I can't because it's not pod safe.
Nice.
Let me mansplain to you what pod safe means, Jason.
What is pod safe?
Do you really not know what pod safe is?
This is the kind of pods that you don't eat.
No, you eat all Tide Pods. They're just different flavors. They're all safe to eat.
Lime is my favorite.
No, that's old. That's like last year. Tide Pods are over. Now, pod safe is music that you can use on your podcast because copyright still exists for now. So I can't play George Michael on our podcast.
I have faith that you will.
You could sing it. I think you can do that. I think I just can't play the recording. So, you know, if you're feeling...
Do, 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 do.
So, before we get into our topic, a little housekeeping. So we are now actually working with Josie, our wonderful graphic designer over at United Ripper Graphics, on designs for the upcoming Critical Path with Mary and Jason t-shirts.
It's actually Jason and Mary. I just corrected that.
It's really not. It's still not. It's still Mary and Jason. If you keep saying it, and you're going to send people to the wrong link, and then it's going to be like, this doesn't exist, and they're going to be like, oh, I guess that podcast doesn't exist then.
Well, they'll just go to the wrong page.
There isn't a page. Do you want me to create a page for the Critical Path with Jason and Mary? And it's just like a page. It's like, you got trolled. That would be good.
Okay.
So we got some mood boards from Josie that let us pick what we want them to look like. And it's a super fun process. And the shirts are going to be really cool. Watch for it.
Watch for it. We're going to be doing that a lot.
Watch for it. Upcoming. So this episode's topic, trust and faith, came to us because we've been having some conversations lately. So we had the Respect Authority Deference podcast, which is actually going to be going up this week. And in that, we really talked about taking something that people confuse, where there are all of these different topics, and then we kind of just use whatever word to capture those topics. So in the same way, we look at trust and faith as two completely different concepts.
So when I was a kid growing up, kind of the common speak that I would hear a lot of would be, you have to earn my trust.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a mantra of the era that I grew up in. You have to earn my trust. I don't just give it out freely to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you were not, you know, you were a troublesome kid.
Oh, I was most certainly troublesome.
So you probably spent a lot of time trying to earn people's trust back, which is a different concept, which we're going to get to.
Right. So I had a conversation with a client last week where we're talking about the difference between trust and faith.
For us, when we say trust, if you trust someone, that means that you assume that they have your best interest in mind. So trust means I don't think you're going to try to screw me over.
Intentionally.
Right. Faith means I believe you can do the things that you're setting out to do. So my son is 13 years old and I trust him entirely. However, so I would trust him to drive my car. I would trust him that he would not intentionally wreck my car. However, I don't have faith, especially in 6+ inches of snow outside right now. I don't have faith that he would be capable of not wrecking the car. So those are two completely different things. The idea that trust is something you have to earn, of course, we don't open up our bank account to people mm-hmm. immediately. It's completely fair for there to be boundaries within which we keep new employees. Mm-hmm. But when we lead with the idea that I don't trust you yet, we're setting the tone for the whole relationship. So the goal then is to build a system where we give a new person access only to the parts of our business where they don't have the capacity to destroy us, mm-hmm. right? We do need to think about that. But to build their position such that on day one, from the very beginning, we can invest trust in that person mm-hmm. and let that relationship grow from there.
So if, in the same way that we wouldn't give a two-year-old a gun, because it's not about trust, right? It's not appropriate for that kind of power to be given to somebody who's not ready for it. And the same way we wouldn't give a 13-year-old, our son, we wouldn't give him keys to the car mm-hmm. Because it's not appropriate at this time. Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate to give people access to places in the business where they don't belong at this point in time. Mm-hmm. However, it's perfectly appropriate to trust it completely. Trust that they'll do the right thing, trust that their heart is in the right place while they're in the areas of the company that they have every business being in.
Absolutely. And so the concept of earning trust, we are really strong believers that you should get trust as a part of that relationship.
Freely.
If I'm going to hire you, then hopefully I feel, at least on day one, like I can trust you. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't hire people that I don't. There are people you meet and you just don't trust them, just naturally don't trust that person. Hopefully those aren't the people that we're hiring. So then the concept of earning trust then becomes a concept of earning trust back. When you, and again, this is, we're not talking about faith. We're not talking about when I make a bad decision and I chose the wrong thing. We're going to get to faith in a minute. We're talking about if someone has done something that is essentially untrustworthy, that mm-hmm. did not put the best interest of the company first. Mm-hmm. And if something like that happens and it's small enough that you decide that you're going to keep that person, then it's important when we're talking about earning trust back that you help people understand what it is they need to do to earn your trust back. Because I think another place that we find people is someone does something and they lose a certain element of trust. And then they're in this constant hamster wheel of trying to earn trust back. And they feel like they're doing all the right things and all the good things. And the person that they work for just can't trust them again. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that so this is something that is, again, near and dear to our hearts mm-hmm. because we have teenagers.
Yeah.
And the truth is that if my teenagers went from newborn babies to full-grown adults and literally never lied to me, then I'm doing something wrong. So, I mean, the truth is human beings, they have to figure that stuff out. They're going to lie. They're going to see what they can get away with. And it's really important when they lose an element of our trust with teenagers, with our children, that we let them understand what it's going to take for them to earn that trust back. And I think it's the same thing with employees. And with employees, you have the added benefit. With your kid, you are going to have to give them that shot no matter what. But with employees, you don't have to give them that shot. So you need to decide for yourself, can I forgive this person? Because if you can't, you shouldn't keep them around. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to you. If you know you are never going to be able to trust that person again, you need to let them go, be in an environment where maybe they can succeed. Mm-hmm. So
faith.
Mm-hmm. So faith is a completely different thing because faith means, do I think that you can do the work that I want you to do? Do I think you can do it well enough? Do I think you can do it in the right way? Mm-hmm. So if you think about what it feels like if someone doesn't trust you, if someone looks at you and assumes that you have ill intent, assumes that you will betray them, that's a very different feeling than what it feels like to walk in the door, never having shown someone what you can do, and for their general attitude to be, prove it. Show me what you can do. Show me what you know. And to, over time, develop that relationship of getting to the point where, okay, now I know that you will, that you know how to build this thing, you know how to do it the right way, and now I can let you go and not oversee you. When we think about how we behave when we don't trust someone, the way that we behave is we try to not give them an opportunity to betray us. When we have not yet built that level of faith that they know how to build the thing, we show that by being nearby and showing them how to do it, which is a much more okay way for a culture to work.
So in management, it's important that we assume good intent, just like in life, it's important that we assume good intent. And so that is the trust piece. And faith, it has nothing to do with intent. Faith has to do with capability.
Absolutely.
What are you capable of? And I think that oftentimes the onboarding process leaves everyone wanting. When you get brought onto a company, you typically aren't given the tools or the training or the experience that you need to be successful. And it's important to remember that for most people require roughly 2 years plus or minus to learn a job. And it doesn't mean that you need to stand with somebody for an entire 2 years to get them on board and up to speed, but you should most certainly do better than a week or two of casual onboarding. And you should really think about, if I had it to do all over again, how would I want to be brought on board to a company? Most certainly you start with open-handed trust, that we assume good intent, and then we build faith over time. And it's essentially a transfer from the onboarding process to moving into a position of faith. Frequently, when people leave us, and most certainly they leave under terms where they've quit us or quit their boss, we feel like there's a breach of trust in that situation. And we tell ourselves we should have known all along not to trust them. There was something about them that was wrong and we should have caught it. And how can we better catch it next time to prevent someone from breaking our trust in the same way? So then we become more and more guarded over time. We're more skeptical. It starts to poison the environment even more. And then before we know it, in that situation, we could also start to question the people who we currently trust. So it's important that we create an environment where everyone feels trusted and they feel comfortable owning their own mistakes and they feel comfortable flagging an issue, because we assume that everyone has the company's best interest at heart. And I will jump through hoops to give the opportunity for that to be the case. I would much rather err on the side of trust rather than the other way around. And just make sure that there's a, what is it called, walled garden, such that they can't do any real damage to the organization until they reach a point where I have faith in their ability to actually perform those tasks.
Well, and on top of that, I do think that there is also an element of initial trust versus a built trust, right? So we should trust everybody walking in the door that generally they have good intentions. But that doesn't mean that they're going to have the same complexity of relationship that you have with someone who has now been your CFO for 10 years and has been managing all of your money and writing all of your checks. And that is a sort of a proven, much more complex relationship. And so the idea that, you know, there are definitely levels of the company that you want to wait until you have some length of time behind you, that's a different concept and idea than not having trust in someone.
So what is it? You're saying that long-term trust is different.
It is, I
think. What is different? What category is that?
So I think it would be naive to assume that faith is the only basis that we use to make determinations of how we let people progress through that walled garden. So if I'm going to let someone write checks for my business, it is not solely a factor of whether or not they know how to pay a bill,
mm-hmm.
right? Most people know how to pay a bill. That doesn't mean that every single person I hire on day one is going to get carte blanche ability to write mm-hmm. checks from the business. But I think the important thing there is to understand that there's a difference between saying, you can't write checks, I don't trust you, versus our trust hasn't reached that level yet. Mm-hmm. The idea that you should extend to each person the day they walk in the same trust that you have for someone who has been taking care of your business for 20 years, that's not true. We mm-hmm. do build trust over time. But to understand that, I guess, we want to start everybody at a one, not at a negative five or mm-hmm. a negative 10. We want to start at a one, even though the truth is you do build trust over time, because while I would trust anyone coming in the door with low-level things, that doesn't mean I'd leave my kids with them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I'd let them write checks for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's important to understand there's a difference between I don't trust you and we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also with trust, from a management standpoint, it's important that we always verify.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that we question every little thing. It doesn't mean that we micromanage. It doesn't mean that we question their integrity. It means that we verify what's actually going on, because ultimately, if something fails, it was the failure of management. If something succeeds, that was the success of the team member. But in order to make sure that we have our fingers on everything, passively, it's not an active creepy finger. That's a good jetpack. Creepy finger.
Active creepy finger?
Creepy
is that
finger.
What you just said?
Creepy finger.
Creepy. Hashtag creepy finger.
Creepy finger.
I don't know. Look it up. Don't Google it.
No, it's. I don't know if that's a thing. I'm sure it is. All things are a thing.
All things are a thing.
Anyway.
It is the internet age.
It's important that we verify the work that our people are doing, because if they fail or they make a mistake, then it's important that we come from it from an aspect of curiosity to make sure that we help plumb them up and give them that refined definition of what our expectations are. And it's not a breach of trust, and it's not a failing of the trust. It's making sure that we're doing our jobs as managers to ensure that our team has what they need.
Absolutely. Well, and I think with an episode like this, the first part is talking about what we mean and what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is fixing problems.
Mm-hmm.
So in real world, in real life, I think faith is the easier of the two. If you don't have faith in someone, if you don't think they know how to do the job,
mm-hmm.
then the first question to ask yourself is, have they had an opportunity to do it for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Have they had the training that they need? How can I offer this person training so that I can have faith in them?
Mm-hmm.
I think trust is trickier. And I think that when you have someone on board and you don't trust them, you need to ask yourself why. And I think...
why you don't trust them or why you have them on board?
If one or the other,
mm-hmm.
right? One or the other. So I think, again, this is puts us into back into that place where we have two super distinct categories, because we have you don't trust them because they have lost your trust in some distinct way. You don't trust them because they lied to you, they betrayed you, they did a thing. Or you just don't really trust them and you don't know why. And I think if we don't trust someone because of a feeling, we owe it to ourselves and to that person, again, either to let them go so that they can go somewhere where they can be trusted and we can have someone in place that we can trust, or to ask yourself, what do I need from this person in order to trust them?
Mm.
Because again, if the answer is there isn't anything, if the answer is like something about, well, he's just kind of a creepy finger kind of type.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel creeped out by him, then what good are you doing by keeping them as part of your team?
Mm-hmm.
And how much damage are you doing if you feel that way? Do other people feel that way? So I think it's really important with trust to kind of ask ourselves why. And again, how could this get fixed? So if my daughter tells me that she went to every class during the day, and then I find out that she skipped the class after lunch because she was busy having banh mi with her friends.
Just not a true story. Just you're just throwing that out
purely
there.
Purely hypothetical situation. Yeah. Then the way that she would earn my trust back would be to regularly either get to her period after lunch every single day or to tell me before the school calls me on the days that she skips that period. Tell me what happened and why she wasn't there. And if she can do those things, she can pretty quickly and easily earn back my trust on that matter. So I think you need to define for yourself, if you don't trust someone, how can they earn my trust? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that answer, then you need to think about what that means. And if you can come up with that answer, you should find a way to make sure that they have that ability to do that if that's what they want.
When oftentimes, though, we'll just write the people off saying that they were flawed. Mm-hmm. Rather, and the part of the conversation I'd had was when there's a streak of people leaving in that similar fashion, mm-hmm. when that is what happens to people if they're here for 2 years or 1 year or 9 months, that is the way that they leave. They quit the company, and it is not the way that you would have that termination or separation occur. When it's not pretty, and it's not pretty every single time, you should ask, reflect a little bit on whether or not it has to do with me or has to do with the organization. If these people keep quitting me, is there something more going on that I'm not considering? Because the likelihood that every single person who comes in is just a piece of crap, mm-hmm. I have a problem believing that.
Well, but again, I think too, if in our interviewing process and in our hiring process, it's evident right off the bat that we don't trust anyone, it doesn't mean everybody who comes in is quote unquote a piece of crap, but we are going to attract a different sort of people. If we're looking for people who come on board and act in a manner that suggests they've just been trusted all their lives by all the people around them, if we expect them to come in and for what? Why would they come in and be treated like they're untrustworthy with us if they had any other possibility, any other opportunity? Mm-hmm. So we are skewing the people who come in our door before we even get to how those relationships work. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, as the leader of a company, extending your trust to people. But what if you are the person who is not having trust extended to you? And understanding trust on a basis of what, as human beings, what causes us to decide to trust someone or not? So the Harvard Business Review had an article called The Three Elements of Trust that assumed that there are three things that we use as human beings to determine whether someone is trustworthy. And ultimately what that is it's based on whether they have positive relationships with the people around them. So if you regard someone in the workplace as having good relationships with everyone else in the workplace, you are more likely to consider that person trustworthy. Good judgment expertise, so this is faith. So if you have faith in someone, that's the second element. Do you think they're good at their job? Do you think they know how to do the right thing? Not the right thing from an ethical standpoint, but the correct mm-hmm. thing. Do they know how to build the thing?
The best thing.
Are they good at building the thing? Are they efficient? And consistency. Mm-hmm. So do they behave in a way that you can expect and predict from day to day? Mm-hmm. And those are the three elements that they found people use when trying to determine who they trust. Mm-hmm. When you look at someone and they, you know, this is kind of like what if, you know, one person who's an asshole, then you probably know an asshole. Mm-hmm. But if you know 10 people who are assholes, maybe you're an asshole. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, I think an important part of trust is how we characterize our relationships. You know, I think it does matter that you actually do have these functional relationships, but ultimately I think a big part of it is the more that you are seen talking about how everyone else is a jerk and everyone else is untrustworthy, the less people trust you. Mm-hmm. Whereas the more you talk about how someone is good at their job and someone is a good person and someone that you have lunch plans with next week, the more that you can talk positively about the people around you, I think the more that inspires trust, mm-hmm. interestingly enough.
What kind of speaks to community.
Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, focusing on consistency, focusing on positive relationships, and focusing on the tools of your trade, mm-hmm. focusing on getting better at what you do. And those are the things that you have control over if you have someone in charge of your company who does not listen to this podcast and who does not automatically extend that sort of base level of trust to you. And I think that's, you know, that discussion of the base level of trust, that's an important part of the conversation, because I don't think any of us expect to walk in the door and be granted that sort of honored, elevated level of trust.
Wasn't that similar to respect?
It is. It's mm-hmm. it's just like the respect, authority, deference. So mm-hmm. you do expect respect. You do not expect deference. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, I think there's really the idea you can really treat someone three ways with respect to trust. There's mistrust. There's base trust and there's elevated trust. People expect and desire base trust. People aren't hurt when they don't have elevated trust. And I think it's important to recognize as a difference between base trust versus elevated trust as opposed to mistrust. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So you can find us on the internet at
www.spinster.com.
That's not a thing. Spinster, that's like a social media site for people who are over the ripe old age of 30 yes. and still unmarried.
Yes.
www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. You can find us on the iTunes podcast directory and any of the apps that pull from there. We're on a bunch of different, anywhere that you find your favorite podcast, you can hopefully find us and leave us a positive review to help other people find us.
We're starting a new website called Shutterstock.
That's not our website and it's not a new website. Although you should watch because we are talking about starting a bad LinkedIn tips Ooh. YouTube channel with Jason. More about that later.
I didn't know you were here.
Now that's a different. It's, hi, I didn't see you there.
Wait for it.
So watch for that in upcoming weeks. And what else? Oh, you can find us on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder and on LinkedIn at all of our respective names.
All of them.
Well, Jason and Mary and Dakota, who's not with us today because he is also snowed in at his home.
See you next time.
Watch for outtakes. So to reiterate then, the jetpack.
Would we really say watch for outtakes?
I mean, you could watch for them if you wanted.
You might be watching a while.
You might see one. I won't tell you what it looks like.
Okay, then. Watch for outtakes.
No, don't watch for outtakes. Shush. I was saying something else.
Jetpack.
Oh, jetpack.
What Creepy was
jetpack?
Finger.
Creepy finger is our jetpack. You are just really bad at having upsetting jetpacks. Creepy finger is the jetpack. So say it to us and you will get on the list to get one of our t-shirts, which are upcoming really soon and going to be awesome.
Nice.
Listen for outtakes. Stay tuned for outtakes.
Watch for it.
You're a dork.
Okay. I don't know what your volume's doing, but you're super loud right now.
Your mom's super loud right now.
Right. Back off.
Let me check levels. Yeah, I am super loud.
That's way louder than your
It's
desk.
Because the mic is all the way over there. Okay. No, it's just freaking me out because it feels like it's not going to hear me.
I can put it in there and it'll hear you just fine.
Look. All right. Anyway. It doesn't look like it's distorted, though. All right.
Barely.
What's barely? Look at these.
Okay.
Look at these spikes.
If I sing any more bars... Other than that.
No, you could say, I think, yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. We might learn by going to jail that I was wrong. Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you.
I guess it's a good thing we're not talking about respect.
Or consent.
Or consent. It's a different topic.
George Michael and consent. That's episode, 23 down the road.
68.
60. You're a dork.
Okay.